Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There is always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore ethically non-monogamous relationships, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of ethical non-monogamy in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hands down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about SmittenKittenOnline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
Welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight is episode 75 of our podcast, and we thought what better time to get back to you, our listener, multiple listeners, we actually have a few, and answer some of your questions, for one for each of our listeners, I guess, since I don't seem to think we have a lot.
All five of them.
So we're not gonna dwell on things like intros tonight. We're going to get right in. First, we're going to do business. I'm Cooper Beckett, and tonight we have...
Hey, everybody, it's Ginger.
Hey, everybody, it's Dylan.
This is Shira B. Katz.
So who would like to go first? We seem to have more business than we've ever had on this show tonight.
Ever? You think?
I don't know that we've ever all four of us gone.
I'll start.
You start.
First, I want to apologize to the listeners for my extra ridiculously husky voice tonight. I'm not feeling awesome.
I don't think there's anyone in our audience that you have to apologize to.
I feel a little ridiculous. But so I also I went on a road trip with my new boyfriend.
That's awesome.
Yay.
It was awesome. A 3-day road trip. And I actually have never done that with a partner that wasn't my primary before.
Ooh, interesting.
Wow.
It was really cool. And we did things like, so this is a big deal. This is a big deal, guys. The whole naked Shira thing.
Uh-huh.
And
oh,
the
boy.
Naked outside Shira thing.
We know that's rare.
The world is expanding. I had sex in a forest. It was awesome.
Really?
Like, yeah, so you could tell Professor that my breasts at least, oh, actually everything. Everything has seen the sun now, finally.
He will
right?
be happy to hear that.
Yeah,
congratulations.
No one... But it was like deep nestled in the redwood forests of California. So there weren't other spectators, but it was outside naked and it felt pretty amazing. It was a lot of fun. And other news, this is the transient, right? So the boy who I thought would be leaving very soon, I found out today that he is leaving, but only for 3 weeks and then coming back. So life over here in general is really happy.
Wow, that is huge.
I like how she shortcutted our discussion about her being naked with something else.
I know, right?
Cool. Well, I got naked outside for a second. I'm excited about it.
I've already tweeted about it.
Oh, really? Have you really?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I think it's partly because I've become a lot more comfortable with my body since I started a new diet. I've been doing this paleo thing for like 9 months. And as a result, my body has been a lot more awesome lately. And I find that it makes me a lot more open to the naked idea. For example, it wasn't just in the forest. Like when we were at the lake later on, I just kind of changed into my bathing suit next to the car at the beach. Like didn't really think much of about it. And I don't know, it was cool. It was cool to feel more comfortable that way.
That's awesome.
Kudos to all that stuff.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
There's a lot good there.
Yeah, I tried to save it all up. I don't give you guys business too often.
Well, okay. Dylan has business, I know.
I do. It's kind of exciting. Many moons ago, I met a single lady thanks to OkCupid, and it was good. We had fun. We've had fun a few times, and she found a boyfriend, and she found a monogamous boyfriend, but unlike other situations that I've encountered recently with my friends and monogamous boyfriends, this boy was open to something different. And so after him coming over, us chilling, us playing separately, them testing the waters a little bit, and her tempting him with another woman, they decided that they're actually going to be completely open to being swingers. So I'm going to take them, along with Tonya, of course, to a club in a couple weeks, and we'll see where things go. We haven't actually been with them two on two other than, you know, playing separately yet. So this might also be the first time we play together, but we might have just converted a wayward boy into the lifestyle.
Wow.
Well, very nice.
Nicely done.
Well, I can't claim all the credit myself. I mean, I'm just a
sure, take the credit.
I couldn't go up to a random guy in the street and say, hey, you wanna be a swinger with me?
Yeah. Take it and walk away.
You wanna see me naked with another woman? You
know, that is the best way to approach it. By the way, I have found, is going up to the male half of a couple and saying, hey, want to be a swinger with me? How about I get naked and fuck your wife? That works too. So, good for you.
Yes, good for me.
You use the classics. Ginger, you have business.
Oh, we're just buzzing right through. We're getting it
done. We are. Well, we've got
done.
A lot of listener questions for our few listeners.
We do. That's true. So let's focus.
I mean, we have a very high question to listener ratio.
We have a lot of listeners and they're dumbfounded.
Oh no.
That is what I'm saying.
That's so sad.
Some of our questions, multiple questions from a single listener because we didn't actually have enough listeners to ask enough questions.
Oh my gosh.
In fact, I can see the number of listeners we have actually going down as we continue this.
I'm feeling that as well. Oh boy. So my business was Prof and I went to a house party this weekend, and I did not realize how many swingers there were in the world until we went to this house party. I've never seen anything like it. Who's been holding out on us is what I want to know. I mean, it's incredible. It was at this big, beautiful home, and there were people everywhere. It was crazy. It was crazy. And everywhere was set up with mattresses and condoms and lube and music in different parts of the house and a hot tub and a deck and food and nice people and sexy people and semi-private rooms and a open play space. I mean, I literally could not understand how we hadn't landed there before. It was crazy.
I do want to say that is one of my favorite things about going to a house party is just seeing that stack of white towels,
yeah,
a bottle of lube, and several condoms
Oh, yeah.
in multiple rooms. I mean... you look at that and that is something that's exclusive to this lifestyle. Walking into a house and seeing all the preparations in multiple rooms.
Oh, absolutely.
It's lovely. And I
was also tickled not just by the stacks of towels and the lube and the condoms and the porn, but then I also noticed that early in the night when we first arrived, there's all this beautiful food and no one's really eating. And then, you know, the night goes on and there's sexy dancing and there's playing. And then it hits late in the night and people are just like all standing in the kitchen, like eating like they've never eaten before. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of a date that we went on once where before we were getting ready to go on the date, the couple asked us, do you want to do dinner before or after? Which I thought was priceless, because as I thought about it, I was like, you know, that's really a good plan. Like, get to it, meet, have a drink, get the rapport going, get the chemistry going, play, and then all go just eat together. Because, you know, after you have a big meal, you're kind of dozy and, you know, it makes a lot of sense. But I noticed that was the way that the flow of things went at this party. It was not a whole lot of people eating, and then it hit late night and the food was just
gone. You have to rebuild your stamina.
Absolutely.
Before round two.
Absolutely. So it was...
Bottled water is also essential.
Yes. Absolutely. And it was fantastic. We had a blast. We're going to go back for sure. And the difference with this particular party was there were single men there. So that was not necessarily new for us, but new in terms of this kind of party for us. We had been to larger swing events where single men were there, like swing fest kind of events, but never, not necessarily a party atmosphere. So that was different. And I look forward to talking about that in more detail sometime when we take on the single men and single women, single swingers question.
Good. That's a reminder to put that back on deck.
There you go. So, because I think there's a lot to talk about there. And I felt like I could have gone around with my microphone and done interviews with all of these gentlemen who were... moving about behind us. So, so that was a lot of fun, but I really was amazed by how many people were there. It was incredible. So,
sounds awesome.
It was lots of fun.
Well, I have a piece of personal business and a piece of other business. Personal business, as some of our listeners may know who follow me on Twitter, I am now Tristan Taramino's official announcer for her new radio show.
That's so awesome.
Hero. Nice.
So you will be hearing my voice on Tristan's show starting June 1st, which is very exciting. Now, my non-personal business is something that just happened today. We're recording this on May 22nd here, and they've talked about how the Catholic Diocese, 43 institutions, filed 12 separate lawsuits to avoid having to provide birth control to employees of Catholic-affiliated institutions like universities and hospitals. So as though the Catholic Church needed even further proof that they just wanted to give the big old fuck you middle finger to women specifically. There you go. Lawsuits. Because they don't want to provide, they don't even want the government to pay for it. They just don't want it. Birth control should not be affordable, according to these lawsuits. It should be difficult to get, to remind us that sex is only to create babies.
Which is why they support Viagra.
That's right. That's right.
Viagra enables the transmission of life, you see.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And birth control is only there to prevent the implantation of life. So to them, it's perfectly, you know, I can't even fake that. I'm trying really hard.
Well, hey, I don't deny that there are perfectly logical to them reasons.
No, they are not even ideologically consistent.
I think they ever been? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say fucking no.
No.
especially the Catholic, and I'm going to speak for from the point of view of the Catholic Church. I couldn't give a fuck about any other ones. The Catholic Church is the one that's stepping out and saying, fuck you. You know, the government is actually trying to do something good for especially lower income families who, let's face it, don't need to have any more fucking children. We have too many people being born in this country. You know, if they want to prevent abortions and they want to prevent overpopulation and they want to prevent, all you have to do is give quality sex education that teaches you how to use birth control that you can get because it's affordable.
I just want to point out that my name's Dylan Thomas, and I didn't start this political argument today.
No, I started it.
No, listen, it's all very simple. If we're going to talk about just the Catholic Church has never on its face or even not on its face tried to equate women's rights with men's rights in the church. And you can see that with the holy orders. If there's no equality in the holy orders, they're never going to equate a nun's or a mother's position in the church with a priest's position in the church. And this is a top-to-bottom thing. They just recently decided to slap down a council of nuns that were advising churches on social policy and advising, you know, their own constituents on how they should be acting and how they should be interpreting religion. And basically said, you need to stop talking now. We're going to oversee everything you put out. We're going to make sure you don't do anything we don't agree with. You need to stop. There's no equilibrium between men and women in the Catholic Church. There never has been. There probably won't ever be. There are other churches that have allowed women to become priests. And while I will never call them progressive on their faces, there are some faiths that have made decent strides into providing both equal rights for men and women and endorsing gay marriage as a right for people, treating people as equals, no matter what sexuality they may identify as. So I can't condemn all faith for this, but I can condemn the Catholic Church and say, well, I agree with you, Cooper. Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's why I left the church a long time ago. I can't, in the last 10 years, this shit is crazy, yo. They have gone completely fucking nuts. I can't believe how different the Catholic Church feels now between when I started leaving it 10 years ago. They spoke out about social policy, more about social justice, more about helping the poor, as you were talking about. And there were legitimate disagreements and on things like birth control. But they didn't ever make an attempt to not give birth control. I mean, we have Catholic institutions in Chicago that have been giving birth control to their employees for years. Loyola University has never explicitly had a problem. There were some rumblings about it maybe 10 or 15 years ago, but they never actually tried to not. It's part of their insurance plan, their medical insurance plan to do so. This stuff is recent. This stuff is hot. I don't know why it's happening now. I know it's a very political game. I know it's probably because of the fairly new Pope that's in office, and he's really... he's not taking the reins to try and expand the church. He's taking the reins to try and solidify command and control, to keep everybody ideologically consistent. And it causes things like this, because when it comes down to it, no matter what good, kind people you have as a priest, as a nun, as a deacon, whatever, your contacts at the church don't matter, because at the end of the day, it's the man at the top calling the shots, and the man at the top is the Pope, and he tells everybody else what to believe. And that is the bottom line. So you can't have a Catholic Church dictating social policy to the rest of the world. This is what happens when you do. That's your fault, Cooper. Good job. Look what you made me do.
We don't need to talk about religion and politics all night. In fact, we probably shouldn't, because I know that at least one of our listeners is not happy about that. And, you know, with
one of the few. Five.
So.
Yep. It's five or four.
Well, it's probably down to four now. Okay, so let's start with a listener voicemail. So, Dylan, why don't you play that for us?
Hey, Swing Set crew. This is Spanking Resource from Twitter and also the brains behind the Spanking Resource blog. But I figured I'd call it with a quick two questions, actually. First one, how do all of you feel about spanking as a form of foreplay? And the second question is, are there any kinks or fetishes out there that you're curious about that you would have no problem watching or being a voyeur to, but yet you would never in a million years take part in yourself, whether it be on the top or on the bottom. Just curious.
I freaking love spanking as foreplay. Whether it's used as just a little playful smack for, yeah, do you like that? Or as a nice little punishment for doing something you may not expect, or something you want to fake is wrong but you like a lot. I like spanking. Tonya doesn't like spanking that much, and that's okay because I can get my spanking out with somebody else. But as far as I haven't really progressed that far into advanced spanking, you know, with implements and such, I love it, and I have absolutely no problem being spanked. Things that I would love to watch but not necessarily want to participate in, though, I'm not sure I'd want to be hit to the extent of bruising or really extreme pain play. That would make me uncomfortable. A lot of the stuff that we mentioned in a previous podcast with Pepper, I'd probably be interested in watching, but not necessarily having done to me. But I would like to watch it all, though. I think I'd like to be a watcher.
A voyeur.
A voyeur, yes.
So, spanking is foreplay. I'm into it if my partner's into it. That's my thing. I'm into people who are hot for something and being the object that people are hot for. I really like being wanted or doing things that are very much wanted. So spanking, sure, absolutely, if the person I'm into is really into it. It's not really a regular thing for me right now, though Gavin, my husband Gavin, is fond of pussy slapping occasionally, like just once or twice, like, which is like in a teasing fun way.
Interesting.
That's
no
a
one
twist.
Else.
That's a twist on spanking. Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a spank just on the other side.
Right.
On the British fanny.
Yes, precisely.
I will say that I am not a huge fan of the casual spank. And that may be because, I wouldn't say that may be, I will say clearly that is because spanking, in my experience, is typically a very involved process with prof and is not a casual experience and typically happens in not just a passing foreplay sort of casual circumstance, but more in a power dynamic. And so I feel like my experience with spanking goes deep really fast. So I would say not so much for foreplay for me. And in terms of the kink question, that's a tough one. I would have to think some about that. I mean, certainly, like you said, Dylan, some of the stuff that Pepper talked about in the kink podcast is certainly experiences I would have to observe, but I also know that the list of things that I would like to try on for size is quite long and is what I think might be considered sort of daring. So in terms of what I would not be interested in taking part in, I'm not going to draw a really solid line for that. But certainly from the perspective of observing, I'm totally all for observing. I love watching people in you know, experiencing pleasure, whatever that looks like, kink or otherwise.
Well, I can say to the second part of that question that I was just informed by Peppermint that there will be male anal fisting demonstrations at this play party on day one of OpenSF. And that is something that I think I'd be interested in seeing, not interested in participating in. So, there's that.
There's that.
There's not a lot I wouldn't want to see. I have some visceral reactions to things like blood and violence. So, but I mean like hardcore violence. Most BDSM I can take. Most stuff I want to watch. I want to watch all sorts of weird shit, especially if I don't have to participate in that. That's how the internet started, right?
People wanting to watch people doing other things? Yes, absolutely.
Totally.
Okay, so Patrick here, brings up a very good point. We talked about oral sex for roughly an hour and did not talk about cum, semen, and how that often plays in to oral sex.
That's a fascinatingly long time to hold off. A good whole hour without cum. Impressive. You can't
even 74 episodes without talking about cum. That's a lot longer than an hour.
We've talked about cum before.
Yeah, we just didn't specifically talk about it in the oral sex realm.
Exactly.
On one episode.
No. All right, fine. No, I think that there's this curious double standard when we're talking about cum and oral sex, because I know that Cooper and I have talked about our own boundaries about oral sex, where we're generally willing to go down on a woman without protection. And I know Shira and has rightly scolded us about this and given us some alternatives. And
Shira has not scolded us once. Shira
scolded us for
in
what?
Fact, just went along with the, hey, I want to give blowjobs to guys wearing condoms. That was her thing. She was not scolding us.
Okay. I know you weren't scolding us. Thank you. You were giving us a lot of really good information. And I remember saying that I'd actually like to try oral sex with protection on both ends eventually, like sometime soon. But in general, I've been willing to go down on women without protection. And I'm not generally worried about their fluids at that point. But I've also never actually come into a woman's mouth that I've just met, or, you know, even just met as a swinging partner. I mean, you know, I've had blowjobs unprotected, but I haven't actually come into somebody's mouth. And I think that without discussion, that might actually be seen as kind of a faux pas to accidentally just come into somebody's mouth. But
yes,
I really haven't talked about that,
it
that
is.
Much. Oh, okay. Oh, it's definitely a faux pas.
I would say yes.
Yeah. You don't come in someone's mouth without just, all right.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it's different when you're going down on a woman. Or at least it feels different, because it's all just fluids down there, I suppose.
Yeah. Imagine the amount that you're lapping up while you're going down on a lady, if you're doing it properly. I say asking is nice, but I never say no. Please, go for it. But I appreciate being asked. I also like astonishing people with the answer of, what? Of course. What are you talking about? You don't have to ask me. I'm a filthy thing.
But, yeah. Is it usually followed with I'm a filthy thing?
I don't actually
No,
say
you don't
that,
actually
I feel,
say that?
I feel that when I answer.
All right.
Which is a good thing.
It is.
Right.
It's a cool question.
It is.
It's kind of like the consent is sexy question. Like, someone getting close, like breathlessly asking, you know, where do you want this? Like,
yeah.
Fruits I've of asked my labor. Before. I know. It's hot. Like, it shouldn't be an embarrassing question.
Yeah, sometimes the answer is on a chest, and sometimes it's put a condom on me and fuck me.
There you go. Yeah. Or lots of other options or whatever. But it's certainly is a sexy question. So no one who is going to put cum somewhere should have to wonder where they should put it. That is kind of, you know, how's that for a gingerism?
I like the way you said that it's a sexy question, because there are so many questions that could really be uncomfortable in the midst of meeting somebody new. I mean, whether it's meeting a couple for the first time or, you know, whatever the situation is, there are a lot of questions that could be uncomfortable, but when you phrase them differently, they can be really sexy questions. And I think, yeah, the question of where would you like me to come or what would you like me to do is kind of a cool thing, because it's in a really nice, sexy context.
I agree. And from that perspective, I don't know if this is completely unrelated to where Patrick was going with this, but I find it very sexy to watch a man ejaculate. I think it's hot. So it just doesn't happen all the time. So I don't know if I don't know. I guess I could ask the men in the room here, you know,
It's so hot to watch a guy come.
Oh, it's totally
hot.
It's
so amazingly hot. So I have a funny story.
Oh, yay.
The other day, fooling around, just, you know, fooling around, taking things pretty lightly. And I whisper, come on me. And he looks at me and he raises an eyebrow and he says, are you fucking crazy? And proceeds to come somewhere else.
What?
And I'm
why?
Like, I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And I, afterwards I was like hurt. I'm like, what just happened? He's like, I can't come in you. And I'm like, no, you can't come in me, actually. I said, come on me.
Yeah. Oh, those damn prepositions.
It was a very awkward moment.
I was just thinking about it, and I never thought that playing with myself or, you know, just ejaculating would be hot for women until recently, to the point where I'd say the last 4 or 5 women that I've been with have all, in some context, asked me to just sit back and masturbate or come on them or something like that. But Tonya even asked me to do it a couple weeks ago for the first time. Well, not like we haven't done it before, but she specifically made that request. And I did, and she really loved it. And loved lapping it up and cleaning up afterwards, too, which was also very hot. I never thought of that as a hot thing, but I guess it is. Huh.
Okay, Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, has to take a quick break. When we come back, more listener questions.
Hey there, Swing Set fans. In the podcasting world, ranking high on iTunes can mean the difference between some listeners and lots of listeners. Do us a favor and hop onto iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and submit a 1-2 sentence review. It'll take a few minutes, but it'll help us spread the word. If you're on a mobile device and want to listen to any of our episodes on demand, search for and download Stitcher, and our entire library will be available at your fingertips. Thanks for listening.
Okay, so Life on the Swing Set is going to Desire from November 3rd through 10th of 2012. So just before the apocalypse, if you believe what you read.
Oh, you mean the election?
Yes, that one.
Yes, oh, okay.
Good, we can go out with tequila shots then.
That's right.
Perfect.
That's
right. In the sex swing. And even better.
We're going to be doing fun party-type atmospheres. We're going to be doing a speed dating thing. We're going to have a pole dancing lesson, some toy demonstrations. As you heard, we tend to like toy demonstrations. We'll probably have the Cooper there with you if I can smuggle it through Mexican security.
So Cooper, if people are interested in joining us at Desire, how do they find out how to get there?
Well, we're going with Char Travel, and if you listened to a few episodes back, you heard them talk about how awesome sexy vacations are, and you can email them at info@chartravel.com. Or you can give them a call at 215-321-4451. Just make sure you mention that you want to go to Desire with Life on the Swing Set.
That sounds great. So if you're interested, please contact Char Travel and we'll see you there.
Okay, so let's move on.
Okay, so this would be an anonymous question that we received.
We have a lot of anonymous questions.
Yeah, that's okay. You can be anonymous and talk to us. My wife and I started dipping our toes into the lifestyle last year. We had a good time playing with our first couple, no swap, just fucking in the same room. But the second couple we played with got really pushy, creepy, for lack of a better term, rapey. My wife is having a really hard time working her way back into a swinging mindset since then. Have any of you experienced something like this, and how did you work past it, if at all? Thanks.
Well, I would say that I know how a bad experience can color your perception really easily. You know, if you had a good experience, hey, awesome, and then you had a bad experience, then you're batting, I don't know, baseball. So you've got a 50-50 thing going on, you know. And so it can be difficult to look at that. Or if your first experience was a bad one, it can be difficult to look at this as something that you should continue. But the odds are in your favor. There are a lot more nice people, a lot more awesome people out there than there are assholes. I mean, there are assholes, but you can probably bank on there being nice people. And what I would recommend to you to give yourself a little bit more comfort going into it is maybe you say, okay, well, we're gonna hang out with these people once, twice, three times, with no sexual stuff at all, and give yourself some time. Don't rush back into anything, because that would allow you to get to know them enough to maybe see if they're going to be pushy or creepy. And it, really, the pushy and creepy people, they won't make it to the third date in general.
I feel like if you do find another couple that you can connect with and just kind of be around without having to worry too much about the sexuality, you know, not feeling pressured about it, I feel like the only things that I really wouldn't want to share with another couple would be, you know, internal drama or something like that. But a bad experience with somebody else doesn't seem like it'd be off limits, and it might even be helpful. So I reiterate what Cooper said and endorse what Cooper said, you know, finding another couple and just not being overtly sexual the first few times. But when you do, you may want to mention when things do get to be a little more sexy, that you guys just caught out of a bad experience, that you may be a little more slow than usual. You may want to stop at some point and just kind of process things and not be offended about it. Not that you necessarily owe that other couple anything, but if you like them and they like you, it might help them to understand where you're coming from so they can be a little more sensitive to it. And it might help the whole evening be just a little bit more low-key and easier to process.
I would say along with that using the experience that wasn't the good experience as a way to learn what works for you. And so to talk together and decide, just look at other opportunities moving forward and how you might decide to bug out earlier or create some sort of, you know, way you might discuss changing things before they get to that point, or something you might, just anything you can learn from that negative experience and make it something that moves you forward in a healthy way together.
Next question.
Excellent.
On most of the podcasts we have listened to, there is an underlining talk of drinking in the clubs, and we both do not drink by choice. We are more into socializing and getting to know the people some. Will our non-drinking be an issue? Will we get looked down upon?
I would say if you make a big deal out of your non-drinking and say, hey, you shouldn't drink either, we should have a lot of fun, they might not like you too much. But really, if you're drinking water and they're drinking beer, if you're drinking pop and they're drinking beer, what does it matter? It doesn't really matter. There is drinking at clubs. You're not going to be able to get around that. But in general, we don't, you know, people who get really drunk and handsy tend to be frowned upon. And people who stay sober, in general, they can only be judged on their behavior. So
I go to the place of, I agree, Coop, that if you feel like you need to drink, or you do drink to excess, and we all do that on accident sometimes, it happens, but if that is your social lubricant to a vast extent, or it's your crutch, that is going to be viewed more negatively than someone who's just stone cold sober, ready to, you know, rock. Mm-hmm. Like I've never seen that be an issue. And we certainly have friends who don't drink at all, and it's not seen as an issue. So I can't imagine that anyone would look down upon you for that.
I don't think so. I think that I judge people more on their drinking than their non-drinking. So there you go. If people are sloshed and trying to be sexy, that raises a lot more eyebrows.
And generally, they're not very good at being sexy when they're sloshed.
Whiskey dick.
Well, that too.
So we have another question, which I love. Are there any over 50 swingers out there? I would expect that many are not swinging because of body image, fitness, energy, and the distaste youth has for old age. I know there are over 50 swingers out there because a lot of them are good friends of ours. Prof and I, go for it, Shira.
Oh no, I didn't mean to break to cut you off. I couldn't talk.
Go for it.
I was just gonna say I would venture to guess there's probably more over 50 swingers than under 50 swingers.
I'd like, say the demographics on websites would support that theory, Shira.
Right.
And I will say we have. three couples in our lives that are all over 50. It was an interesting thing for us because when we first started swinging, we put a 5 to 10 year age limit, age difference limit on our swinging. But then we met awesome people who were beyond that difference. And really, when it comes down to it, you know, that's one of the most interesting things about swinging. And if you ever have a mixed party with big group of swingers and a big group of vanilla people, you will notice that the swingers congregate on one side. And if you looked at them from the outside, you would have no fucking idea why these people are all hanging out talking to each other, because they will run the age demographic. They will run the ethnicity demographic. They will run the gamut in terms of income. And it, the only thing I suggested it could be was a book club. Yeah. Where we all read sexy books to each other. But you will see a lot of over 50 swingers. And I don't know if this is a question from people who are over 50 wondering if they should join the swinging lifestyle. If it is, then absolutely you should. You will find a lot of people who are very much interested in older, wiser folk. As one of the youths who don't have distaste for old age, I would say welcome.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to generalize that young people have a distaste for old age, at least young swingers, but maybe that's just me being optimistic. I don't know.
I find that there, at least in the poly community, there are age segregated groups sometimes that will kind of take care of the problem of younger people who aren't as interested in being with older people. Because people have their preferences. You can't really hold it against them. People like what they like. And so I think that if you go and check out a community that doesn't specifically say, you know, 40 and under or something like that, you should probably be fine. If people are worried about it, they'll take care of it by themselves.
Yeah, it is self-selecting, sort of. So welcome, over 50 crowd.
Absolutely. Hear, hear to that. Prof and I love chatting up the over 50 crowd and some of our friends that we see on a regular basis, particularly when we head to Desire, our folks that we want to be over 50 swinging. Mm-hmm. We're going to be over 50 swinging. So, I mean, it helps to see what life is like when you hit that point. We'll all be there together. So this whole crew. So it'll be interesting. What episode do you think will be?
Oh,
recording?
Dear. Oh, dear.
Does anybody want to do the math?
I'm trying, but I can't think of anything.
Okay. Sorry. We can go on.
So many. People are going to be so tired of hearing me talk about
people will be.
Yeah, I think we may be around 2,000 or so. At least for you and the Google and Shira.
That's some good math.
Shira may be like 3,000 or something. I know she's young.
She's 1,000 episodes younger than us?
No, I don't think so.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
We have a message from Cliff, our listener who's still listening to us, even though we talked about religion and politics earlier, and he was our listener who asked us to stop that.
Yeah, some of us more than others.
We're trying.
So, Cliff, I hope you're still here for us to answer your question, which is he was thinking about our podcast on chemistry and was wondering, is it possible to have one-way chemistry where you feel a connection with someone, but they don't feel it back?
I know that's for a fact. That's possible because in the past, it's been a couple of years now, but Prof had chemistry with her and I had chemistry with him, but then very quickly, whether there was chemistry there or not in the first place, it either waned or wasn't there any longer, and it became our very first uneven chemistry experience, but it was certainly one of the first where we just didn't see them because he didn't have chemistry with me. I was still totally into it. So Prof continued to see her more socially than anything else. And we would see them at parties and whatnot. But that was just the way it happened. And so, yeah, I think that's the question, right? One-way chemistry?
I think so, too. It strikes me as the unrequited love question.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I survived.
Well, you're still here with us.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
If you listen to episode 25 of Pedestrian Polyamory, I talk a little bit about the chemicals that are involved when you become attracted to someone. And that is totally possible. It's totally possible for that stuff to be instigated in just one person. It changes a little bit when you start talking about things like pheromones and how your chemicals make other people work. Because that's a different kind of chemistry. But stuff like hardcore crushing and hardcore sexual attraction can totally be one-sided, particularly if your pheromones aren't helping you out.
I think it's important to also mention that the chemistry, the relationship between you and this person who is not interested can still be a substantial relationship. The question then becomes, how are you dealing with the fact that your interest is not being returned? And with silence, we move on.
You said, how do you deal with it? Was that the...
No, I'm not asking...
Gracefully?
No. I'm saying that the answer is how. Not you. I'm saying to Cliff that the important part of this then becomes how he deals with it. Because, you know, if he's really into this person and the whatever he is looking for is not coming back, but he can still have a friendship with this person, then he needs to decide if that's on his radar. It ultimately comes down to, at what level is he fine?
True.
And if he's not fine at a level of him being interested in and her being, or this other person not being interested, then he may need to have parting of the ways rather than cause drama.
Yeah, that is a little trickier when it is four, if there's the four chemistry.
Yes.
And yeah, but we could dive into that and it would be a very long conversation, but certainly dealing with it in a way that, I don't know, we were just in that particular circumstance. Prof and I were still at parties with this particular couple and he still had chemistry with her. So there were opportunities. So it is, I mean, Coop, you're right. I mean, it is about how the person who's the one that's experiencing is the receiver of lack of chemistry, if that's possible. I don't even know what to say. Is the one who's kind of left out of the loop, like, you know, well, it's not me. They're not into me. Well, you do have to take it gracefully and just be like, well, it is what it is. Like, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. And so going to that place of deciding how you're going to handle it is important. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move on to the next question. I've been in the lifestyle for nearly 40 years. During that time, I've known many couples who have ended their relationship because one person found someone they would rather be with. I think this comes with the territory, and it is a risk that we all take in the lifestyle. My question is, why are people surprised and angry when this happens?
I would like to address the last part specifically. People are surprised and angry because even though we take it as we take a lot of risks in life, that doesn't mean we have to be accepting when it happens. You know, if you drive, you risk getting into an accident, but you don't have to be like, oh, well, you know, it happens. You can be surprised. You can be angry. You can be all that. So especially with something as big as a relationship that's very important to you ending because of feelings for another person. You can be accepting of it, but I think you have every right to be surprised, hurt, angry when it happens.
Well, I think if I found somebody that I wanted to actively replace Tonya with, as opposed to, be with Tonya with someone else, or any other combination of situations, you know, be with her in addition to being with Tonya, I think that that would be a really good reason for some shock. I mean, I feel like, especially from a swinger's point of view, I'm doing this with Tonya, and we're a team, and we kind of expect each other to be there for each other. And dating outside of that, while that's an ongoing new experiment for us, I think there's still the feeling that we're still going to be there for each other, and that changing just means that we're changing and we have to deal with it. And I think I'd be pretty surprised if it happens, and maybe even a little angry. I'd be angry if I felt somebody was coming in and taking my place. I think that's pretty natural, and it'd be something I'd have to deal with.
This sort of thing happens all the goddamn time in polyamory. All the goddamn time. often. And I think it is a natural thing that occurs as you meet people at different phases in your life that may or may not fit into different phases of your life better than the person that you met when you were 20 or, 25 or whatever. You have to work to keep a relationship going for years and years and years, right? You're not going to work as hard to make shit work with a new person. So if things work with a new person, they're probably going to be a pretty good fit. For example, I had a very close friend who was with his wife for about 10 years. They were polyamorous, and she took another lover. It was found out during their marriage that he was not interested in having children. When the female part of this couple took the new lover, she found out that this new partner was into the idea of having kids, as was she. And so, naturally, things rearranged. And she found that she wanted to be primary and have kids with this other person and make that their life. And it was painful and hurty, but that's like a thing that happens often, I think. It's not glamorous, and it's always hurtful. Like, no matter when a relationship ends, it's going to be hurtful. An interesting side aspect of polyamory is that sometimes it can be a smooth transition. And it doesn't have to be necessarily the end of a relationship, but perhaps the changing of a dynamic of relationships.
Well, and Shira, along with that, I mean, we could just broaden it out and say, a lot of people change relationships on a regular basis. I mean, it really is something, not to belittle the question, but it really is something that happens, generally speaking. I mean, when we look at numbers for divorce rates and those types of things. So perhaps there are unique circumstances within polyamory and within swinging. Maybe, though, it's more above board and honest and clear and straightforward. And I agree with you, Cooper. It's like it's still surprising and it still is disturbing or sad or is not what we might want in our life. But I just reflect on my own personal experience, and I have plenty of friends who've moved on from other primary monogamous relationships to other primary monogamous relationships. So it's not something that is a phenomenon that is unique to the ethically non-monogamous community.
No.
Definitely.
Plus, I think that being open like this gives us a route to resolve this without the catastrophic earth-shattering consequences that happen when this happens with a monogamous marriage. I mean, it's going to be hurty, like you were mentioning, Shira, no matter what. But sometimes, like you said, sometimes it happens smoothly, and I think being here gives us a framework to try and work through these issues and communicate through these issues, and at least give us a better shot at resolving this without our entire lives crashing around us when it does, when and if it does happen.
I tell Gavin all the time, though he heartily disagrees with me, that I could see him finding another partner in the future that becomes as big of a deal as I am, or more, because of the relationship dynamics and the, you know, the different kinds of needs that he has that I'm not able to meet. You know, and I'm totally okay with the idea of our dynamic changing in the future. And I'm excited to see him get really close with other people.
Aww. I love that.
I love him very much. I really just want whatever makes him the happiest.
Hear, hear.
Okay, well, we have more questions that we can handle in one episode. So we're going to leave it there tonight. If you would like to ask us a question, you can give us a call, leave us a voicemail at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. And ask us a question for an upcoming show. In the meantime, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow us all on Twitter at swingsetlife, at gingerandtheprof, at shirabikatz, and at dylan_swingset. You can also email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. So thanks, guys, for joining us tonight and answering these questions with me.
Thanks for giving us the questions.
Anytime, boss man.
And
absolutely.
Thank you, listeners, for swinging by. We'll be back next week with more of your questions. So, guys, the Smitten Kitten is giving us something cool to give away. And I think it's because we've been talking kink a lot, but they seem to think we're a little kinky. And so they are giving us bondage tape.
Ooh.
Can I have it?
Yeah, I want
no,
it.
No, you are. Sorry. I do have to do that disclaimer thing that says that, you know, employees or co-hosts or their spouses and families are ineligible.
Our families.
Otherwise, you know, every contest we do, it would just be me giving you stuff.
Well, okay. In that case, tell me what bondage tape is.
Well, I that's a good question. We should look and see what bondage tape is.
It's sticky enough. It sticks to itself. And it's not, it doesn't like, it doesn't damage your skin.
It's a little stretchy too,
yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly.
So it gives a little leeway.
A little, but not enough.
No. not enough. So we have two rolls of bondage tape, and we want to give them away to two swing set listeners. And I think I'm going to give you until June 1st. And what I want to hear, and I think my panel wants to hear, is you leaving us a voicemail and telling us what you want to do with the bondage tape.
Ooh.
It doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be a scene. You don't have to, you know, have sound effects or other voices or anything like that. Just tell us why your bondage tape situation is deserving of some free bondage tape from the awesome ladies over at the Smitten Kitten.
My bondage tape situation involves Dylan.
Oh.
Ooh. And his thighs.
I'll just leave it at that.
Excellent.
That is enticing, but you still can't win it, Ginger.
Damn it.
But I bet you Dylan is on his way to buy some right
yeah,
now.
Dylan will website, probably bring you some at OpenSF, so there, you got that to look forward to. Then. So, listeners, give us a call, leave us a voicemail at 573-557-9464 and tell us what you want to do with the bondage tape and why we should give it to you. And I think our voicemail limit is somewhere around 3 minutes, so there's your challenge, under 3 minutes. And we will be the totally partial judges.
At least you own it.
Yeah, I do. I mean, if we like you more, you know,
that means we listeners might give it make to sure Cooper's included in this scene.
No, because no, that would be more of a fantasy. No, I want to know specifically what you're actually going to do with it.
I see.
Unless you are actually going to use it with me, in which case, you know, if we don't have a prior relationship, it might be creepy. I don't know. I get squicked out. I'm like that. So if we do have a prior relationship and you're planning to visit Chicago and you want to include me in the bondage tape discussion, then you need to get it past the other three, so I'm not judging totally myself.
Deal. Okay.
So, 573-557-9464 is the number. Give us a call and tell us why the Smitten Kittens bondage tape should be in your next sexy bondage scene. When it comes to online dating, you at home have a lot of options available to you. But we here at Life on the Swing Set recommend Cassidy.com. We've tried many websites in the past, and while most are adequate and some are even pretty good, the one that we keep coming back to is Cassidy.com. And there are a few reasons for that. First of all, and most important to me, is ease of use. You want to put a picture on your page? You know how to do it. It's intuitive. It's built in. It's Facebook for non-monogamy. Cassidy also has one of the most aggressive campaigns out there to get the most people all around the world onto the site. Right now, potential playmates are scattered throughout regional websites. Wouldn't it be awesome if they were all in one place so you could search one site and find absolutely everyone you were interested in playing with? Well, that's where the campaign for Cassidy comes in. Cassidy need not be your only site, but we recommend you give it a try. And if you sign up using the link on our page, you support Life on the Swing Set, so we can continue bringing you what's been called the best non-monogamy podcast out there. Cassidy.com.
You're listening to a Swing Set podcast. Hear more at lifeontheswingset.com.